life,
dignity,
security,
freedom,
respect, justice,
equality,
equality,
remedy,
protection,
fairness,
fair time,
privacy,
right,
peace.
Movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
word,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Charter Dana,
I raised the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International Volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our new theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the UDHR. My name is Jim Hutchings, and this week I'm joined by our co-host Mona Hill.
Hi, everybody.
As the year winds down, we bring an update about the Occupy Regina movement. We will discuss the results of where it has been and where it is going in the near future. We welcome three members of the Occupy Regina movement to discuss results of the occupation and future plans. They are Waldo Smith, David Jerome, and Rob Sutherland. Welcome, you guys.
Hi,
How's
everybody.
How's it going?
Thanks.
Welcome, and we're happy to have you back. And this being the last show for Human Rights Radio of 2011, I thought it was a really good thing that you come here and talk about. First of all, give us an idea of each of you as to why you felt it was important to get involved in the Occupy movement in the first place, and we could start with David.
Well, you know, I got involved just like everybody else with pamphlets. I was walking around downtown. My vehicle actually got stuck in Regina here. Broke down, so been stranded here for a while. And
okay. So what was it about the movement that attracted you that you felt it was important?
It was really the bank bailouts system that just kind of really got me stumbled.
Okay.
And the way our education system is starting to fail.
What does that mean to you personally about the education
personally,
system?
Personally, I got kids.
Okay.
And I think everybody has a right to a good education.
Mm-hmm.
And when they keep doing budget cuts and stuff, it just brings us down farther and farther.
Okay, thanks. Waldo, how did you get involved in the first place?
Well, I started out by watching Occupy Wall Street on YouTube and all the police brutality that was going on for the first month and actually still continuing. And I kind of showed up to Occupy Regina on the first day to show my support and show that, you know, that's wrong and they shouldn't be beating protesters like that. And then as I kind of hung out in the camp for the first week or so, I just started learning all these new things that you know, the government and corporations are doing behind people's backs and all this other stuff. So I felt it was really important to stay down there and stay involved.
Okay. And Rob?
Well, when people ask me what the occupation is and why I got involved, I usually think that it's really a symptom, not a cause. And I think that I am subject to the same pressures and the same sort of social disease that's caused so many people to be so outraged about what's been going on, the general waste, you know, the bailouts, the economic inequality, all the various cuts in our social programs, and all these things have combined and affected enough people so that they're prepared to go out and hook up with each other and take action. So when I began to hear about Occupy Wall Street, sense the level of energy and the level of, you know, the momentum that it had, I decided that, you know, I was suffering from the same problem, so I was going to get together with people that were having the same problems as me and try to solve them. And then when I began to meet up with the local organizers and take part in the process, the you know, the energy level and the determination to make some positive changes really just dragged me in.
Okay, thanks. So the first week you all went and set up tents and lived in your tents. And it's my understanding a lot of the people that are homeless in Regina decided to find a space where they could be safe within your group. So yep. Some of them ended up becoming involved in the group as well.
Yeah. Yep. We had a lot of homeless people show up, and it's one of the moments that I always remember was talking to this guy, and, you know, he was standing with a big smile on his face, and he said, you know, I wake up in the morning here, and I feel, you know, I feel good. He says, when I'm in a shelter, or I'm in a, you know, down at the Salvation Army or somewhere like that, I just feel like I'm, you know, a piece of garbage. And here, you know, I got a little pride in myself. We were getting together. We were trying to make things work. And that's a big deal for me.
That speaks a lot for the ability to take personal responsibility for making changes in your own life, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And having that opportunity to work with like-minded people to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things is the discovery of just how many people have your problems. Because, you know, we are so isolated in society, and we all seem to be suffering alone. We suffer job loss. We suffer the erosion of our ability to care for our children and to have decent housing and so on. And it takes something like this to realize just how many people are affected by it. And how much power they really have when they get together.
And considering how many people are affected by those sort of negative social consequences, what type of support have you had? How many people have you had supporting you? Talk about some of the organizations as well.
Okay, well, we've had support from all across the spectrum, all the way from, you know, people coming by the camp to drop off some coffee and muffins to... you know, for example, the Council of Canadians rented us a porta potty, and that's a whole story in itself. We had support from labor groups, the SFL, and I think the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers came down, gave us some, yeah. And we had, of course, some funding from ARPERG, which is a NGO devoted to social support.
What is it? ARPERG, Regina Public Interest Research Group.
Right. It comes out of the university, doesn't it? Right.
Yeah. They gave us quite a bit of help, actually, for the first month and still continue to. Yep.
And is that financial help or other types of help
yes.
as well?
Yes. They gave us a cash donation for, what was it, $200 for the first 2 weeks and then $100 for every respective week for 4 weeks following.
Yeah.
So that's really good. And then I believe another, Ursu, I believe, helped out
as
well?
Oh, yes, Ursu did as well, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we had many individuals who were part of other organizations that came in and gave their support. That was one of the most amazing things for me. It was to see the level of support and the level of pride and you know, the smiles on people's faces when they came in there and they were actually able to contribute something. I mean, people would show up with, you know, complete ham dinners, you know, baked ham, potatoes, everything, pots of soup.
Those were delicious.
Oh, yeah. Blessed are the soup makers. Yeah. Well, you know, when you've been lying in a tent at, like, minus 10, and you get up in the morning, a hot bowl of soup is a really good thing.
It makes it even harder to not allow to have propane too.
Yeah. We got amazing support, and people are still coming up and joining our Facebook page and giving us support in so many different ways. So here's a big shout out to you guys in Regina.
That's right. There's quite a few supporters that you have. There was a number thrown out the other day, I think.
I believe it's 2,700 right now
on the Occupy Regina page. Yes.
Yeah.
And are all these people that you know of from Regina or living in Regina? For the most part?
I think the majority of them are. We do have people from other Occupy movements who are involved and so on. I would say maybe 90% of them are certainly from the Regina area.
And that's a good point, that you have connections mm-hmm. with all the other Occupy movements, don't you?
That's correct.
Yes.
It seems to me, from what I've seen online, this has become a global movement that is connected mm-hmm. everywhere along the way. If you look back to what happened, was it earlier in the week in Vancouver, mm-hmm. we knew about it before mm-hmm. it was happening mm-hmm. and as it was happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how often that has happened globally with any type of social activity or social action.
Yeah. One thing that they've been really trying to stress is mass organization. Mass days of action all across the country and all across the world, do mass movements and mass protests. And if they're in every city at the same time, the same day, it's going to be noticed. And people will realize more so that this is a real problem. Right?
And some of the cities are still having problems with police response to their peaceful protests. Mm-hmm. What's it been like here in Regina up until now?
We actually had a fairly good relationship with the Regina Police Service.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. They're very professional. They came in and did their jobs.
And what was that?
Well, they would respond to any calls and problems. We had a liaison with them. And, you know, if there was, you know, we had a lot of, I mean, we were in the middle of Victoria Park, naturally. We didn't have a wall around us, so we had people wandering in from all over the
place.
Which,
for those who are not familiar with Victoria Park, is right in the center of downtown Regina.
Right in the center of downtown Regina, across the street from a bar. So,
right. Yeah.
Okay.
It can get pretty hectic sometimes at night.
It's very in the way of everybody's traffic, actually.
Yeah.
Which was a perfect spot to be in.
Yeah.
Because the main goal at the beginning was awareness.
Yeah.
All we wanted to do was get the word out there, handing out pamphlets, just letting people know what's happening, right?
So it's not a bad place to engage with people in conversation.
Oh, it was the perfect place to engage.
It was a perfect place from a point of view of getting in touch with people, but I could have done with a little less of the wind tunnel effect, to be honest with you.
It got cold.
The weather got colder.
Yeah.
So the police were pretty good.
Yeah.
And they were quite responsive. Treated you with dignity, respect.
Yep. Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. I must say, though, that the direction they received from city government, they didn't really seem to have much of a plan. In fact, it struck me, I mean, at the beginning, we were quite worried that we were going to get rolled on out of there the first night or something like that.
Night one was quite exciting.
Right, yeah. But that didn't happen. Things went on. We came to a verbal agreement with city council that they would not go out, we would not be ticketed as long as we kept the space clean and were respectful and cooperated, which we did, and that worked out. But we could not seem to get any arrangements made, for example, to get power, the outlets around us were cut off. The porta potty, which was paid for by the Council of Canadians, was seized by the city and removed after a day, in spite of the fact that they were complaining about hygiene and that kind of thing. So we make an effort to be hygienic and comply, and they pull it out. So I almost got the sense that there was a bit of confusion and, you know, some passive aggression going on mm-hmm. there.
And eventually they started handing out tickets.
Right, yeah.
They hesitated. They waited.
They started with eviction notices. They kind of dropped them off in everybody's tent one morning, whether there was somebody sleeping there at the time or not. And then I believe two days later, they dropped off another cease and desist order about the small tanks of propane we were using and whatnot. And then after that, I believe it was Monday?
I think it was the Sunday.
The Sunday?
No. Yeah, it was a Sunday. Monday, everything got ticketed.
Yeah, they came out and gave the tickets on Monday. So.
And how many people did they ticket?
Seven.
Okay.
Seven the first day, two the next day.
And you've all just been in court on Wednesday about those tickets.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah. Talk about that, how it was.
It was in and out, pretty much.
Yeah, it's adjourned till next month.
For what purpose?
Our lawyers are trying to get disclosures and everything with all the information.
We are hoping to go ahead with a charter challenge against these bylaws, and our legal people wanted time to put our material together and organize things. So we just felt that it was better to adjourn it and give us time to get our act together and make some plans.
Okay. So that goes along with the right to peaceful protest, for one
Absolutely.
Thing.
Right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Right to peaceably assemble and protest.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is negative responses. You know, I'm aware that during the time that you were occupying Regina, as far as being out in public in the park, that there were some people who were not as positive and not offering their assistance or help in any way. And some, I believe, actually showed some fear of the people that were there.
I think the funniest one I saw was when they played on the one of the news channels there about that woman arguing with one of the occupiers.
The one from the bar across the street who came running through and booting tents and asking people.
No. There's this woman that walked through the park going towards the Scarf Street Mall, and she was just getting real bitchy with, what's his name? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
But she was funny because the global cameras or CCTV cameras caught it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They played it on the news that later that night, and I started laughing because the negative response is just it's accepted. And
do you think it's the negative response could be based on lack of information?
Partially, yes,
but partly as well. I mean, I think a lot of what I saw, it was just people who wanted to jump on the bandwagon in a sense and. We were out there in public doing things, taking a stand, and I think that, you know, a lot of it was just really knee-jerk, kind of get in there, get into the spotlight, and do some yelling. Most of the people that I talked to really didn't seem to have a good analysis of it. They were, it was almost like a script, you know. Mm-hmm. Why don't you hippies get a job? Well, I have a job, you know. I mean, I'm a computer programmer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, well, what are you doing here? Well, you know, we're standing up for our rights. Well, blah, 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 we don't have any problems in Canada.
Yeah. I feel the majority of the negative responses that we've gotten have been online. It's a lot of people that actually wouldn't come down to the camp and voice their opinions. They'd hide behind the computer screen and do it there. And they kind of still continue to, but, you know, that's their choice. That's their opinion on the subject, and we can do whatever we can to try and change that, but there's no saying we can, right?
What's your opinion about someone who has that type of negative opinion and expresses themselves in that manner against something that you're trying to do that you feel is a positive social common cause?
Well, we've had to work out a number of responses, and the first one is we will fight for you until you wake up.
Yeah.
And also thank you for spreading our meme, because, you know, even a negative response, for example, I had one guy online tell me that his history teacher had slagged us in the classroom and called us a bunch of bums and idiots, and what did we think about that?
That's actually happened in more than one school.
That's
everywhere, I think.
You know, my response was that, well, you know, when I was in high school, when the teacher told me to do something, I usually did the opposite, so tell them thanks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a lot of, you've also talked, when I talked to you before, about supporters who would come out and maybe offer you things but didn't feel that they could spend time there, or even had concerns about being seen there amongst the group, though they were supporters.
That was almost a majority of the outside supporters. There was a lot of people that would, they were actually told by their businesses if they were seen down at the camp, whatever, they could possibly lose their job.
Wow.
One guy did lose his job, right?
One guy, I believe, did. I'm not too sure on the story on that one there.
Well, I believe he was spotted wearing his work uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, security guard uniform.
Something like that. Yeah. But as a result of that, we had people coming up, dropping off donations with their faces covered and kind of sleek in and drop off something and run away without saying anything.
It's actually quite funny to watch.
Yeah, it really was. You'd walk into the kitchen tent, you'd find like a pile of clothes or like an extra box of food that wasn't there before.
And then we're all arguing between each other. Where did this come from?
Yeah, where did it come from? We got a place for it.
So many things. Like, you know, the negative people were really a very small percentage. Mm-hmm. But the number of people who came out without us actually even, you know, asking them, and just mm-hmm. showed up with clothes and food and anything useful was just amazing. They just came out of the woodwork, and they really seemed to enjoy doing it.
There was definitely no shortage of anything.
No.
Yeah.
Well, when Jim and I went to the camp the first time to do some interviews with people, I noticed that it was, and you know, such a warm welcome for one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And come on into our tent and have some hot soup or stew and visit with us. Mm-hmm. It was, it was great being there, actually.
Yeah.
How much time do we have, Jim, till the break?
Oh, about 5 minutes.
Okay, so that'll give you a little bit of time, maybe. I'd like you to talk a little bit about the concept of the Occupy movement being for all people, maybe not necessarily versus, but in connection with taking on specific issues, social issues that you might be wanting to focus on or work on, as opposed to bringing every single issue that is part of the quote unquote 99%. Of society. How are you working with this? Give us sort of a breakdown of this real quickly, and then we can get more into it after the break.
Well, you know, the Occupy movement is a very amorphous thing, and it covers a lot of things, but there are issues that people in various locations have to deal with locally because of their local conditions, and then there are the overall problems. Like locally here, the one thing that we heard about over and over and over again was housing. And we're confronting that problem on an individual basis, which I'll talk a little bit more about after the break. But we also need, you know, we're trying to organize ourselves, find space and that kind of thing. And then we're finding ourselves struggling to deal with the housing crisis here in Regina and come up with some solutions and, you know, hook up with other people that have the same problems to deal with. That's one of our big local issues.
Mm-hmm.
And
what are some of the others?
Other causes?
Yeah.
Well, there's quite a bit, actually. Everybody has their own personal causes that I'm sure if you ask them, they would bring up.
Okay.
And what I would like to see Occupy do is find the core root of all those problems, which I'm sure they can all come down to a pretty much a small common denominator.
What
fix
do you
those
think that
problems.
Is?
It's the 1%, really. That's what I feel it is, yeah. It's the funneling of money upwards, leaving the bottom dry with nothing to do, nothing to support anybody's cause.
Yeah. You know, the housing issue is only getting worse, too.
Yeah.
I read the other day some apartments are getting shut down.
Yeah.
There's like 54 people getting evicted.
Yep.
And it's already hard enough to get into a house. I know this because I've been looking.
0.6% rate.
Exactly. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, Jim and I have done approximately 5 shows on homelessness in the past year or year and a half. And
we're not seeing a trend to anything improving the situation.
No, it's only getting worse.
Worse, exactly. Worse. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and buck passing. And, you know, if you talk to your local municipal politician, they will tell you, well, it's not our responsibility.
Well, we've done that. We've tried to talk to our local politicians.
Yeah, they don't seem to want to talk to us.
They don't want to talk to us.
We'll get back to the homelessness afterwards. Yeah, I do agree that this is a massive problem right now. And I like the perspective that you took about the fact that in different global locations there are different immediate issues that may not be the same as other places. But I do think that the homeless issue is probably something that that there is poverty in every city somewhere. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, maybe not in Hollywood. I don't know. I don't know if there's homeless people in Hollywood.
Oh, sure,
absolutely there is.
There
sure.
are, right?
Not everybody's a movie star.
Yeah. So, but, and then what about, in about the minute we've got left, what about something that is a commonality besides that?
Oh, education, absolutely. Educating people about the economic realities that they face, who's really making these decisions, and why there's less money to pay for food and shelter every single month.
Yeah. You know.
And I think that the internet plays a big part in that, doesn't it? Because you can offer education through your Facebook page,
absolutely.
Through
websites. Absolutely. There's many, many ways to educate people through the internet.
About the realities of that money being funneled upwards instead of downwards.
It's about the system that we live under, the Federal Reserve Banking or whatever you want to call it. There's a couple different names for it, but yeah.
Do you think that fits into the concept of democracy?
No. Well, certainly the economic domination by a few is reflected in the fact that they find democracy quite inconvenient, and so they've decided to try to eliminate it. So that is one of our universal causes as in the occupation.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to take a few minutes and take a break, and we're going to play a song that Rob chose for us by R.E.M. What's the title?
Welcome to the Occupation.
Well, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play that after the break.
After the break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and talk more with the Occupy Regina movement.
So we'll be right back. That's Welcome to the Occupation.
Tell us about that song, Rob.
Well, it seemed to me to be quite apropos for the occupation. So I was playing it quite a bit during the Occupy camp, but it wasn't until I looked up a link to send you when we were talking about it that I noticed a note on the YouTube page that said that it was one of the official theme songs for Occupy Wall Street. So there you go. Great minds think alike.
So there's more than one.
Oh yeah, we yeah. There has been a massive outpouring of art, writing, music, all kinds of creativity unleashed by this. You know, the number of Occupy related work that comes out is just it's a total flood, and there's some really good stuff there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that creativity, does that extend to the 1% at all?
Well, you know, the 1% are human beings too. They're part of our culture, and they seem to be quite creative in trying to find ways to diminish or disappear our message. So, you know, and one of the points that I haven't heard made is that you know, when the systems collapse, say we have an economic collapse, climate change, all these things, the 1% are going to be in the same boat as us, and that's one of the things that I think. They should probably think about.
And if that day comes, it's going to be a lot harder for them to function. You know, when you've grown up in poverty, when you've lived on assistance, and when you've learned how to cook your own food from the food that you've raised in your backyard, life is a lot easier.
I was being harassed by why are you here? Why are you here? And I said, you know, I'm here to get some practice in living on the street, because if these trends continue, that's where we're all going to be, and I'm going to be ahead of you, okay?
It's a good head start.
Yeah, good practice. Basic training, that's what, to a certain extent, the Occupy camps were sort of like a common experience, like basic training, you know, that kind of thing. We all got together and tried to solve our problems, and we did, to a large extent. You know, we had no major health problems. We had no injuries or deaths or anything in Occupy Regina, and people work really hard to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. We learned a lot from each other.
Tell me about that. What kind of stuff did you
learn? It was great, you know. It was like, look at these two.
Yeah?
It's building sense of community.
It's just, we built relationships that normally wouldn't have happened.
Share techniques.
So it's been almost a mentoring experience.
With everyone,
we've all mentored each other.
I'm learning from them. I'm sure people are learning from me.
From you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. So. Well, there can't be anything but positivity from that.
Everything we've done so far has been just amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah, a lot of the things that have happened in the Occupy movement that are going to make changes are not really, really visible. You know, when you look at these imperceptible things like people getting to know each other, understand who's in the community. You know, I had met maybe 5% of the people that I know this month before the Occupy movement. I mean, it's just, there are so many people come together and linked up, and that's really going to make a big difference, even if it's kind of hard to quantify.
Yeah, the networks that have been built locally across country and across the world are just amazing, and only time will tell to see what really comes out of all those connections.
So those are potential problem-solving networks.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole goal is to solve the problem.
Yeah. Okay. And one of the things that we've just done this last week is there's a national, a Canadian cross-country Skype call, a group call that we do. And we had an idea here. Actually, David's wife came up with the concept is that we should focus on locating housing and going out, finding property that we can rent, organizing co-op houses, getting the members of the Occupy movement that are homeless or living in bad conditions together, take advantage of our unity and our pool of skills and being able to, you know, not act in isolation and solve the housing problem for us and for everybody else, hopefully, by having an initiative we call Occupy Housing. And that's something that's been picked up a lot of people in other Occupy movements are talking about it. We're beginning to organize that now, and we're going to start in the new year going out, trying to locate property, encourage people to get together and make some kind of arrangements to deal with the desperate situation that that they're in. Because, you know, people are so isolated in these problems.
This is true.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lack of support.
Yeah, and I think it's going to take some unified effort to make a dent here, because, you know, the craziness that's been going on with the, you know, the real estate developers calling the shots, the way that renters and anybody, and, you know, homeowners for that matter, are not immune to that, is it's all done on an individual basis, divide and conquer. And we think that if we are able to get people going on that, we can try to make some positive changes there.
Mm-hmm. You're also looking for a meeting space, aren't you?
That's yes. Right. Yeah, we are trying to find a stable, fairly large space where we can have our general assemblies, which are our democratic mechanism for making
direct
decisions.
Direct democracy,
yeah. And so if anybody wants to have Occupy Regina in your space, you just let us know. We're on Facebook.
So somewhere centrally located.
Yes,
where people can get to easily on the bus road, somewhere with parking, a storefront or something.
Somewhere
accessibility is a big issue for everyone.
Yeah.
Everybody
You're absolutely
has vehicles.
Right.
Yeah. You know, most of us walk around everywhere. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's getting very chilly.
It sure is. Yeah. Okay. So what else do you want to focus on in the next year with Occupy besides the homelessness?
Well, the housing thing is sort of a tactical thing, but we want to try to set ourselves up as a sort of a nexus, a network, something where people who are in sympathy with our goals, but maybe are not a direct part of it, can, you know, plug into our movement, work with us. We have a lot of people, for example, who are talking about getting involved in political actions, and that's a big debate right now. Do we want to support a particular party? Do we want to be a party? Are we a party? Do we want to go down the, you know, political road, which a lot of people are a little leery of? But you know, I think that we could certainly be flexible enough to work with people who do want to do that without necessarily morphing into some kind of party ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I'd like to see. I'd like to see us grow and, you know, sustain ourselves as a community and be able to provide a network, a meeting point for groups that are all trying to solve these problems, because there are so many of them, but they're all so isolated.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a major issue with any new kind of movement is having a cohesiveness and an understanding that is similar or close to being similar amongst various groups.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's always going to be disagreements amongst individuals, but to be able to have that cohesiveness amongst groups, to be able to work together without feeling insulted or disparaged or mm-hmm. feeling that their cause is maybe not a commonality, so they're being left out. That must be very difficult for the group.
Oh yeah. We are struggling with all kinds of things. And our meetings get pretty lively. But you know, that's what happens when people are passionate, and people should be passionate, and they should get angry.
Absolutely.
And we are not the ones that stand in line.
So I guess the biggest challenge here then is when you do get together and you have those passionate meetings, is being able to you know, sort of let it out and then say, okay, now we need to get back together. We need to work on this.
Yeah,
to have that common
happens,
goal, right?
And it does happen. I mean, we have had all kinds of situations. People have just walked out and, you know, left in a huff, but then they reconsider, they come back and put their shoulders to the wheel, you know. Yeah. And watching how many people have made so much of an effort in this is just been one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that says a lot.
Yeah.
How much time have we got, Jim?
All kinds.
Yep. How many kinds?
Well, about 12 minutes.
Okay. What do you want to talk about now, Waldo?
Well, one thing I would like to kind of state is with these national GAs and the international GAs that we're setting up online.
What's the GA stand for?
General Assembly.
Okay.
Yeah. With those being set up across country and people getting together from city to city to city, one thing the media has been bugging the Occupy movement about is there's no clear message, there's no this, right? What the GAs are there for is to gather those clear messages, because there is not just one, plain and simple. It's to collect all those across the nation, and then I believe this upcoming summer, there's marches planned to go to Ottawa.
We're planning to do a cross-country march.
Yeah.
Ottawa,
too.
Yeah, which for Regina has got some very powerful historical roots. And
we will play a big part
absolutely.
In this march, considering the Regina riot and whatnot.
So. I'm actually quite surprised on how much of the city is unaware of the Regina riots.
That as well, yes. A lot of people don't know that we actually had a riot here in 1938, I believe.
No, 32, 33,
early 30s, somewhere around there.
My father was involved in that.
Yeah.
That's he had come from Alberta, and he was out of work, and yeah, he absolutely was involved. Yeah.
Wow.
But the main thing I can say about the Occupy movement is that we persist, we are growing, and we're going to be here until the problems are solved, because really we have no alternative.
Are you, you talked earlier about the prospect perhaps of becoming a political party or getting closely engaged with political parties. What have you had so far from any of the political parties, whether it be negative or positive or supportive? Or?
Well, I was actually quite, I won't be negative. We've had a lot of involvement from the Greens.
Yeah.
They were down at the camp a lot. We had some individual members of the NDP down there. Dwayne Lingenfelter was conspicuous by his absence, although he did dip a toe in the water in Toronto or something like that. I don't know why anybody before an election would miss a photo op like Occupy Regina, but I guess he did. And we've had a number of people who see us as a revitalizing force in local politics that, there are just a lot of cross currents going on. But I think that the nature of the Occupy movement is such that I don't think it could turn into a political movement or support it, because its strength is that we have no leader, we have no dogma. Well, we have a little bit of dogma, but we're not exclusive, and so we cut across a lot of lines and we link up and gain strength in a lot of ways that a traditional political party just couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you haven't heard from the province then either, I gather.
No.
At all? Okay.
No.
They haven't put out their hand to say, what can we do to help?
No. You mean Brad Wall's government? No.
That's our current provincial government.
No. We're kind of up against the wall, but, certainly there's been no... no attempt to liaise with us.
Okay.
No. We welcome any conversation.
We will talk to anybody.
Yeah, we're all about communication and sending a positive message. We're not really much into arguing. We do welcome it, but...
Well, maybe amongst yourselves at meetings, eh?
Especially on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Well that's, there you
input,
go. Let's go to
the fact that they post it right on the wall, everybody sees it.
Yeah.
And
it's public.
The way we respond in a positive manner, it's like, it's what we're trying to do. And it's everybody reads that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on that wall reads it. So the negativity is welcome.
Okay. Well, it gives you an opportunity to respond, right?
Yeah, that's all we are, right?
And to know how people are feeling.
It's the awareness, it's the input.
You talked about that earlier, Rob.
Yeah.
So now you've expressed a number of your needs about a meeting place, an opportunity to work on housing issues in the near future. And how do people connect with you? People who are just hearing about this for the first time or have heard it and they have no idea how to connect with it. And if they don't have computer access or know how to use a computer or how to get on Facebook, can you give us an idea of how people can connect with you?
Well, we're trying to organize what we're calling Occupy Hangouts, where members of the of the movement will go and sit in a coffee shop. For example, I spent a couple hours last night in a lounge coffee talking to some people. And we're going to perhaps put out a newsletter, trying to get people, get it out into the, you know, the analog world, as it were, and give people who aren't connected, who aren't comfortable with Facebook, a chance to interface with us. It is actually a bit of a problem, because we are essentially starting off as an online organization. Most of it, most of the impetus and the flow of information comes through online. So, but we have had, we have so many supporters who want to get involved and know that we are responding to that. And at this point, we will simply have to ask you to either email us at OccupyRegina@gmail.com or try to go get somebody to go to our Facebook page and find out where the next hangout or event is going to be. We're also going to be doing various public events that we will be advertising, and that, you know, members of the public can just drop in and connect with us at.
Have you had any connection with any of the local magazines or publications where that they might be willing to give you some space?
That's one of the things on our to-do list for getting out. We actually seem to have more of a relationship with the visual media, to be honest. They're the ones who were down there at the camp. Some of them, actually, we're getting to know them quite well.
Those waiting for us outside court and whatnot.
You know, we are trying to, I mean, we are really part of the community. We're not separate from it. We suffer from the same problems.
Mm-hmm. We all have our struggles.
Yeah. And can I talk about my personal...
Absolutely. Thing? Please
okay.
do.
After
as a result.
Well, we were going to talk about that anyway, but what happened with the homeless people. In my particular case, one of the couples that was staying at the Occupy Regina, that happens to be David and Jessica, didn't have a place to go, so they wound up staying in my apartment.
And you have two children, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which I say apartment, what I mean is bachelor suites. We're talking about a 20 by 10 rectangle with a bathroom and a kitchen nook. This is the kind of housing that poor people can afford in this wonderful paradise here.
We've actually tried several times to get an apartment in the apartment, and we've been denied.
Yeah, we've denied. Don't like kids.
So you're talking about space that was available.
We spent the last
month. Denied.
Oh yeah, there's tons of space all over the city that's available, but we keep getting turned down because of children.
Yeah. And
oh really?
Well, we're young, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So are they telling you directly that they won't rent to you because you have children?
Yeah,
directly.
Directly, yeah.
Okay.
Kids make too much noise.
My wife is going out there.
Yeah.
We'll talk
about this after. There may be a solution to that.
Yeah. But anyway, yesterday I wound up getting an eviction notice for having illegal tenants in my, bachelor suite. So I'm going to have to find another place, I guess. So this Occupy housing has taken on a whole new personal motivation for me.
and for David and his family.
Yeah. It's becoming a serious issue. It's,
yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah. I guess it's quite difficult to answer questions like where are you going and what are you going to do, because we are really this whole thing. When you think about the time scale of it, it's absolutely amazing. There's so much has been accomplished in such a short time. So we're just really running is sort of like dancing on an avalanche or something like that. You know, you're going quite fast and you're moving a lot, but you're really not paying that much attention to where you're going to wind up. You know, we do have a plan. We plan to roll with the punches and try to make some positive changes in situations we find by using whatever tactics we can.
Okay. So any last words before we sign off? We have a few minutes left. If each one of you wants to. David, you had a shout-out you wanted to give,
didn't you? Yeah, it's Alan Kyle for taking care of my cousins.
Okay.
They're going to turn out great.
Oh, that's great. What about you, Waldo? Is there anything you wanted to say?
Well, I would like to definitely invite everyone down there who's listening in the city to come down and join our General Assemblies. We'll be having a big public one for absolutely everybody and anybody who wants to come down and voice their opinion and listen to everybody else's opinion. It'll be early next month.
And where will that be held?
We're not entirely sure on a space yet.
I think it should be done out in the open.
I would like to do it at the campsite. It might be too cold
depending
for some
weather,
people,
right?
Depending on the weather.
Well,
yes.
All our General Assemblies up until the end of the campsite were outside.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was still, 20 people minimum showing up to them.
Right.
But
so
for those people like
our seniors who may want to get involved, who have a difficult time being out in the cold, and
yeah.
We want to take that into consideration maybe. So you'll be posting that on your Facebook page?
Yeah, we'll be posting the location and time right away.
Okay.
Well, I'd just like to thank every single person that came out and supported us during the camp, right from that guy that walked up at 6 o'clock in the morning and offered to buy us breakfast, to the lady that showed up with a bag of hand-knitted toques and gloves, to everybody that came by and put a quarter in the slot and did what they could to help us out because they thought that what we were doing was important. Thank you.
Thank you. The coffees in the morning was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Even overnight. Like, we had a night shift for security.
Oh, and I'd like to do a special thanks to Robert, the owner of the Copper Kettle, who, we were taking to calling that the Arsenal of Democracy. he was really solid. He came out. He walked out in the middle of Victoria Park with a couple of thermos jugs of coffee.
That's great.
The second or third night we were there. And, he always was willing to let us come in and warm up, that kind of stuff. It was an absolute godsend.
That's great. Thank you all for being here. It's been very informative. And we look forward to following your progress and finding out where Occupy Regina is going and following your successes and supporting you in those.
Awesome.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And just before we move on, I wanted to give a big shout out to everyone who turned out last Saturday on December 10th to the Amnesty International Right for Right events. We had 115 letters written by hand for various human rights violations all across the world. We had wonderful entertainment by people who volunteered their time. People brought food and we shared food and we had just had an amazing time. So we had, we believe, a very successful Right for Rights event. And thanks for everyone who donated everything. We'll be doing it again next year, and we'll look forward to having people join us. Did you want to say anything before we go, Jim?
One of the things I wanted to let people know is that we now have Amnesty scarves.
Oh, we do. I was wearing one today.
I saw one of those on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want an Amnesty scarf, it's black fleece, and it has the Amnesty logo at the bottom on one side of our Candle of Hope. And you may have seen our Candle of Hope in the Regina Leader post on the front page last Monday. And so you've got the black scarf with the yellow, beautiful yellow design with Amnesty International written on it. And these, I might add, are custom designed just for Regina. Regina is the only place in the world that you can get these scarves for $15 each. And all that money that will either, it'll pay for the making the scarves, and then the rest of it will go back to Amnesty International. We are all volunteers. We don't take any pay for doing this work that we are so passionate about. So, yes, and we sold all our calendars too, which was great.
The scarves would make a wonderful stocking stuffer.
You bet. If you want to get a scarf, you can call 586-1938, or you can find us on amnestysaskatchewan.ca, and you can just go in there and ask where you can get a scarf, and we'll get back to you and connect with you. And that's it.
Occupy O. We are Occupy Regina.
We are Occupy Regina.
And we wish to thank...
And we wish to thank...
The citizens of Regina...
The citizens of Regina
and the citizens around the world
who
have supported our movement
and
whom we will fight for
and whom we will fight for.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."